Okay, thank you. So the floor is open. Come on. That can't be true. Okay.
So if I understand correctly, you said that you thought that the Pirate Party was not a particularly good, I think you said it wasn't very good branding for the group of people who are interested in that sort of global movement in the U.S. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about why you thought that was the case, because it seems like maybe it sort of dramatizes the point, right, to say pirates. So do you think it's something specific about the U.S., or do you think in general this is simplifying things too much?
Yeah, so I am a very strong supporter of the very sensible policies that are in the Pirate Party's platform. What I said was, just as you said, a branding matter for the United States, I think it's self-defeating. Right? I think in Europe, it's obviously not self-defeating. I think that, in fact, it can capture a certain imagination and channel activity, and I wouldn't presume to tell Europeans what's going to work in Europe. But I just can report that if you frame this issue as a piracy issue, you lose 90% of the people you need to begin to convince if you're going to win this issue politically, right? Because they already think this is a piracy issue. They already think the only issue here is, should kids have the right to steal other people's stuff? That's what they think this issue is about. And in the last 10, 15 years, when I've been pushing to fight on this issue, it has been pushing against the understanding this is all just about stealing other people's stuff. Now, of course, if we could get everybody into a room and spend an hour telling them the story, I wouldn't care what the name of the party was, because I think everybody would understand that it's not about just whether you get to steal stuff. It's about what kind of amateur creativity is legal, what kind of access to our culture is guaranteed, what kind of self-defeating regulations do we need to get rid of. But most people will spend 30 seconds understanding this issue, if we're lucky. And just the tradition of America left to us by Ronald Reagan and his ilk makes it such that we're not going to be able to talk about these issues in a constructive way if we start by saying, I'm from the Pirate Party.
Okay, there's a question over there on the right-hand side, if I see that okay. Correctly. Should we collect two or three, or what do you prefer?
You're the boss.
Okay, so please, go ahead.
Yeah, and...
Just start talking, they'll take care of it.
Is on? Okay. You ended on a very optimistic note that this cannot be stopped, this kind of culture. It's only a minority of the population, albeit a large one, which participates in it and uses the internet in the way you suggested. And only a very small minority of this large minority is actually writing this culture. There might be only 2 or 3% of the people on YouTube which do contribute stuff to YouTube, which is actually interesting. And we are right now having a party with free porn, free music, free exchange of ideas, free literature, free movies. And what makes you think that this party cannot be stopped?
I couldn't hear the last part. Could you say
What makes you think that this party cannot be stopped? Why do you think it's impossible to shut down this culture? Because it's a culture of a minority.
Well, I don't think it's impossible to shut it down. We just won't choose the steps necessary to shut it down. So you want to shut it down? Shut down the internet. I would shut it down. It's simple, right? But of course, we're not going to shut down the internet. So as long as there's something called the internet, you're not going to stop what Microsoft, in a fantastic paper called the darknet. You're not going to stop the darknet. So accepting a reality, however much we don't like that reality, leads us to the place of what do we do afterward, to the place where we understand you're not going to shut it down. Now, Americans have gone through this kind of prohibition cycle a number of times. It takes us an enormously long time to recognize the foolishness of prohibition. But think about prohibition of alcohol, which, for 12 years raged in the United States as a constitutional mandate that you couldn't sell intoxicating liquor. When the United States gave up prohibition, It wasn't because all of a sudden everybody decided, oh, actually consuming intoxicating liquor is a good thing. People ought to be around drunk all the time. That wasn't what happened. What they recognized was this way of fighting the problem was self-defeating. It would cost more than the benefit. And I think that's the reality that starts here. Now, if that's true, then what do we do to mitigate the harm caused by this dark net? And that's why I think proposals like the Green proposal for the flat rates, the discussion in the right direction as opposed to the French three strikes, you're out proposals. And secondly, how can we begin to legitimate the kind of creative activity, which you're right, is still a very small minority of what people do on the net. Now, my sense is that if we legitimated it, allowed it to be taught in schools, allowed people to do it openly, allowed companies to sponsor it, allowed this to be a central part of what happens in the internet without concerns about legal liability, then the 2 to 3% might become 7 to 8% or 9%, right? The point is, it would be much more than exists right now. I don't think it would ever be everybody or a majority, but the aspiration that people become creative is the aspiration of an enlightened society, right? That this is what we want people to do, to be creative, however, as Huxley put it, in their humble ways. Let them be creative. So we should be encouraging it, and we should be complaining that not enough people are doing it, as opposed to complaining that too many people are violating 19th and 20th century copyright laws.
Okay, I'll try to be as fair as possible. The problem is that it's pretty hard to see here who's holding up their hands. So there's someone here.
Thank you. I want to say that it's maybe a minority doing that because it's still illegal.
Yeah.
And it's not really easy because it is illegal. And you outlined that one reason we need to reform copyright is because it makes those kinds of creativity illegal. But my question is, if you're also concerned about the tools the people use to be creative, to create those great pieces of art, because these tools are usually obtained illegally, and the producers of those tools, of those software tools to cut videos, to cut musical pieces, to put those things on the internet, are usually controlled by big companies that control that what the users can do with that, and that control how high the price is for those tools.
I am concerned about that, although I'm less concerned, because the software industry is more mature about these issues than the content industry, right? The software industry went through the cycle of technological protection measures in the 1980s. And discovered it was a failed strategy. And so they backed away from it. And there's a very complicated dance that's engaged in by software producers to basically produce what economists call price discrimination. So that students who can't afford to pay money for stuff get it for free, and corporations that can afford to pay for it pay a significant amount of money. It's an imperfect compromise, but it seems to be pretty much the settlement of this. But on the other hand, I am a strong supporter of the development of legal tools for people to use. So, I remember once I was debating a senior person at Microsoft who was whining about piracy in China, piracy of their software in China, and I surprised him by saying to the audience, I agree, it's a terrible problem, and that you are behaving immorally when you pirate Microsoft software. And what you all should do is you should all use Linux instead. And of course, the Microsoft representative at that point said, well, let's not be radical about this. So, I think the same points exist here. GNU Linux is the symbol of how it's possible to build through free software an alternative to proprietary systems, and the free software is legal to use in this context. And there have been very important projects. Right now, most exciting project is the Miro project to push these open, what's called open instead of free for reasons I don't get, but open video software into the marketplace and encourage more people to support it. And if you're a coder or a hacker, you know, I think you would do an enormous amount of good if you, you know, worked on not another printer driver for GNU Linux, but making, you know, something like an equivalent of Photoshop or standard platforms for video codecs that that would make it actually useful and free and available. Countries like Brazil have been supporting this quite dramatically. The Brazil's former culture minister, Gilberto Gil, started what's called a 1,000 Point of Culture project, where they build these free software culture hotspots throughout Brazil, where kids can come and they can record music or make video and share their stuff on the internet. And all of it's made with free software. And you know, I think that you're going to see an enormous amount of growth in that context as they develop that kind of software, and eventually it'll migrate back to people, you know, in cultures like ours.
Problem with that is that many of those use pirated versions of Microsoft right now. They were glad that they got the free computers and the places where they can meet, but right. First thing they did was getting rid of Linux on the computers. And but you know, probably it's a long way to get there, but Brazil, of course, is one of the best examples of a society that encourages the use of these things.